Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. This is our Ash Wednesday service. We begin with an advertisement, which we will continue to advertise as long as we need to. Students, pastors looking for employment. As pastor, this is a job opportunity for one or more of you. Daleville Christian Church will retire its long-serving pastor in another year. Daleville Christian Church is an independent Christian church looking to find the next lead pastor of this small but forward-looking congregation. Eventually, it is intended that this position lead towards the full-time lead pastor position upon the present pastor's retirement. That's me. What is available now is an associate's position, full or part-time, for training in the life of Daleville Christian Church for the future of the congregation. Please send inquiries or resumes to me, Pastor Gary McManus, Daleville Pastor 1, that's Daleville Pastor, the number 1, at mac.com. We would begin with our call to worship from the 90th Psalm. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest back man to the dust and sayest, turn back, O children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Thou dost sweep men away. They're like a dream, like grass which is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. The psalmist is describing events that still occur in Israel during the sunshine of the day. In the morning it is cooler and the grass flourishes, but by late afternoon, the sun has scorched the grass and it is dead and burnt. And in those hours of daylight is the life of the grass. And so, like the grass, our lives are also short. A reading from God's Word for today is from the letter called 1 John in the second chapter. I'm going to do verses 9 through 12. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. I write you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I was told early on in my career that I did not talk about sin very much. If I was going to title today's message for Ash Wednesday, it would be, Sin Isn't Just What We Do. Sin isn't just what we do. It took me a while, but I know why I did not talk about sin very much, and I still don't talk about sin very much except on Ash Wednesday. I made sure that I'd been doing the right thing, so I Googled Ash Wednesday, and it said from the online Encyclopedia Britannica, because we don't print those anymore, Ash Wednesday is a solemn reminder of human mortality and the need for reconciliation with God, and marks the beginning of the penitential Lenten season. That's the season before Easter. And of course, the reason we all need to be reconciled to God is because of sin. We're going to have to define sin, and I believe that's not easy to do. The word sin carries at least 150 years of baggage in America, and none of the baggage is very sophisticated. But sin is sophisticated. What does the Bible say about the serpent in the garden? The serpent is crafty. Genesis 3:1, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made, more subtle, more cunning, other versions say, sneakier, clever. Ever think of sin as being clever or sneaky? Shrewd, astute, one even states, more able to fool others. We tend to think of sin as action, but Jesus reminded us that sin begins in the mind. Matthew 5:28, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Former President Jimmy Carter made quite a stir when he announced that he had lusted after women in his heart. Finally, a believer who admitted publicly that everything was not all right. Most of the rest of us had not heard a believer publicly state, especially one who teaches Sunday school, admit to such a thing. And a believer from the South, even Georgia, where they are not convinced that racial slavery was a sin, they had to fight a war over it to get slavery outlawed. So here's where I am. To put it simply, sin is anything that is not keeping with the will of God. Sin is not just action. Sin is more than sinful acts. James, Jesus' brother, James 1, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin starts in the mind. So sin is hard to define because it starts in the mind. And sin isn't just what you do and think. Sin can include the things you don't do. If the Heavenly Father wants you to do something and we refuse, that's a sin. Think about Jonah. Or consider Jesus' words to the Pharisees in chapter 23 of Matthew. You've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former, neglecting to do what the Lord calls us to do. So now I'll talk about some specific sins, and that means I have to talk about myself. Well, I don't want to share my own dirty laundry, but I think it's pretty common dirty laundry, and you would rather I talk about my dirty laundry than have me talk about your dirty laundry. I think I'm right about that. I do not generally think kindly of myself. I have even written down during Ash Wednesday services or Lenten services that one thing I want to do better is thinking kindly about myself. I think things about myself, I don't think about my friends, I don't think about my family, and I don't think about church members. Everyone gets the benefit of my doubts except me. Now, I believe there are two reasons for that. First of all, the book of Revelation reminds us that the evil one is accusing the believers night and day. The evil one accuses us night and day to the judge Jesus to try to get Jesus to understand that we're not worth Jesus' sacrifice, that we have earned a just and terrible punishment of hell. So one reason I'm not kind to myself is that I can hear the devil's accusations. Revelation 12:10. What about other people? Well, they may or may not hear Satan, or they're able to pay no attention to Satan and his ranting. Now, I know I've had this experience more than once, and I believe others have had it also. We either said something wrong, did something wrong, or failed to do something wrong when we had the opportunity. And sometimes when that happens, we may have asked for forgiveness. We may have asked forgiveness from Jesus, and so we know we've been forgiven, and we may have asked for forgiveness from the people we did to or spoke to or failed to do for, and we may have received forgiveness from them. But that sinful moment keeps coming to our minds. Sometimes out of nowhere, boom, there it is. We should forget about it because God says that God has forgotten about it. But it keeps coming back. I think I finally overcome one particular loop that kept coming around. but I still have a couple of others. I usually remind myself, I told that person I was sorry. Or in another instance, I recall writing a letter to that other person and asking them to forgive me. But still, it comes back around in my mind. So there are a couple of reasons for this experience. One possibility is that the thought has become a habit, a bad habit, and you have not replaced that habit with a good habit. Habits of thinking about ourselves are real habits, and they could be sinful habits. We may think damaging thoughts, harmful thoughts, unloving thoughts. Perhaps we've not forgiven ourselves, and that's wrong. So that adds another sin to the sin we were originally confessing. Now, I've read pastors' claims that we don't have to love ourselves and we don't have to forgive ourselves. I believe that's rubbish. Or down in Rush County, we would say that's hogwash. Are we or are we not to learn to love what Jesus loves? Yes, we are. So, I read one pastor not too long ago who wrote, "Of course you love yourself. You don't even have to question that." What? If we love ourselves, why do we engage in self-destructive actions or self-destructive thinking? Why don't we take our mental health seriously? Why don't we take our physical health seriously? Why don't we always put on our seatbelts? Why don't we always obey traffic laws? Why would we go to work when we have the flu or worse? Why do some of us decide that we know more about medicine than our doctor? And hey, pastors, statistically, I know that your health is no better than your congregation's health, and sometimes worse. Pastor, your stress levels have pushed your blood pressure up, your eating habits have fouled your circulatory system, and you don't exercise. And that's because you do love yourself? Oh, and you don't have to forgive yourself? Even when you get caught self-destructing? You're in the hospital with a stroke or heart attack or an auto accident when you didn't wear a seatbelt for that one time that year? If you can do all that without needing to forgive yourself, you are on a different spiritual plane than I am. I can confess that I have trouble loving myself on much simpler occasions. Or maybe, Pastor, you're like Ravi Zacharias, who simply didn't think his sexual abuse of others, he just didn't think it was wrong. He didn't have to forgive himself for it. It wasn't wrong. Now, friends, there's some wrong thinking. Ravi Zacharias had a habit of wrong thinking. Now, oddly, friends, I thought this sermon was going to go in a different direction because of something else I read recently. This writer suggested that racism is not only sinful, but the writer suggested that we can't help it. We may not be born racist, but we pick it up very quickly. I think the writer's correct. Racism is a way of thinking, and then it makes its way into action. Not only that, but I think racism is very easy to pick up because of the way we think as human beings. One thing that human beings can do, and a reason we're at the top of the food chain, is that we can discriminate. We can tell good mushrooms from poisonous mushrooms. We can discriminate between good fruit and poisonous fruit. We know to eat the stem of the rhubarb and not the leaves of the rhubarb. It's called discrimination, and we're very good at it. But when we turn discrimination towards our fellow man, that is not good. Then we're misusing our abilities for evil purposes. We're choosing to love one group more than another. We're choosing to try and be fair to one group and not the other. We may even try to be kind to one group and not another. I told you when I first visited a church where I went to seminary, it was Scouts Recognition Sunday. We were coming into the worship, getting our bulletin from the greeter. The people ahead of Deborah and I were an African-American woman and her son. I saw how they were greeted, and then I saw how I was greeted. It was not the same greeting. Neither I nor the two people in front of me were members of that congregation, but I was greeted with a smile and a warm welcome. But not the mother and the child ahead of me. So we need to confess our misuse of our abilities and work to correct it. I'm able to be kind to others, but I have a hard time being kind to myself. So again, this season, I will confess that I don't love what Jesus loves, and I don't love like Jesus loves, even trying to love me, and I will ask the Lord to help me love what the Lord loves and help me to forgive what the Lord forgives. This saying is true. It isn't in the Bible. It is true. To err is human. To forgive is divine. An English poet wrote that. To err is human, to forgive is divine. Doing divine things is hard for mere mortals, which is why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. That's what we remind ourselves every Ash Wednesday. As my family used to say on family vacations, we're here, but we're not there. We are here following Jesus, but we are sometimes awfully far behind Jesus. We want to be following more nearly Jesus day by day. Maybe this Ash Wednesday we dedicate ourselves to the renewal of our minds, Romans 12:2, or maybe we dedicate ourselves to having Jesus take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians 10, or maybe we dedicate ourselves to having Jesus put us in our right minds, Luke chapter 8, verse 35. I believe I've told you, I pray that Jesus put me in my right mind. Don't be afraid of that. It doesn't hurt. Amen.